You are listening to the Staying Gang Women's Basketball Podcast presented by the Greater Texas Ford Dealers on the Midwestern State Digital Network. We'll take a weekly inside look with Coach Christopher Ray into the women's basketball program. We'll recap last week's games and take a look at this week's opponent. It's the Staying Gang Women's Basketball Podcast on the Midwestern State Digital Network.
Welcome to the show. Are you ready for a ride?
Welcome to the show, Texas. This is Ford Truck Month. Get the best deals of the year on the only trucks built Ford tough. Drive home the all-new, completely redesigned 2021 Ford F-150, the legendary performer Ford Super Duty, or the adventure-ready Ford Ranger. Work or play, count on Ford trucks to get the job done. But hurry, Ford Truck Month is one show you don't want
to
miss.
It's the Staying Gang Women's Basketball Podcast. I'm your host, Trey Reed, along with Midwestern State head coach, Christopher Ray. Chris, coming off of maybe a tough weekend that wasn't that enjoyable for you or the team, but heading into the Lone Star Conference Tournament, you have a game opening against Cameron, just 50 miles away, tomorrow night in Lawton. But really the season, you look back on it, you finished the regular season at 11-6 and going to carry a 10-game home court winning streak into next season. So a lot of positive coming from this season.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a lot of positives. We played some great basketball, and maybe not necessarily on Saturday, but up until that point we've been playing well, and we're going to bounce back, and we look forward to this opportunity to get back into the LSC postseason, because we're officially in March, and March with basketball, anything is possible, and so we just got to seize the opportunity.
And when, as we look forward into the tournament, we'll break that down real quick. When you look at the women's side of the ball, as I say, Midwestern State taking on Cameron, that is actually the 4-5 game. Cameron in the point system snuck ahead of the Mustangs in the last game of the season. But you're on the side of the bracket with number one seed Lubbock Christian. They'll be playing 8 seed St. Mary's. Then on the other side of the bracket, the 2 seed is Texas A&M Commerce. They'll be hosting Oklahoma Christian on Tuesday, and West Texas A&M as the number 3 seed will host 6-seeded Texas A&M International. So you're going to be on the side of LCU, and speaking of home court advantages, a win with this, and if the Lady Chaps beat St. Mary's, which is you think would happen, you'll be going into the Rip Griffin Center, a place where LCU would by then have won 89 straight games, which is a D2 record, but the streaks are made to be broken.
Yeah, absolutely. And we got to get through this first game before we even really dive into that one. But right. Cameron's a formidable opponent, and we've got our hands full.
You look at Cameron, we'll go ahead and break those ladies down now, but they're led by a sophomore, Megan Hedge. When I look at the averages, she does a really great job. Obviously, she's one of the top players in the league, but she averages normally around 17 points per game, and I'd had to do the math, but it seems like she averages upper 20s against the Mustangs. She's a really tough customer.
Yeah, no, she is, and we've had a few games where we've played her really well, and then even some of the games where she scored in high points. The first game of the season comes to mind where she got her average, but I feel like we did a good job on it, made it be a little bit more inefficient, whereas in the second game she still got her average, but it was more efficient, and so that's what we got to do more of that first game of the season, which we're both two completely different teams from, the beginning of the season, which is crazy that we opened the season with a conference opponent back in December. And so they do a lot of things different, and so do we, and both teams have grown. And they've changed some things up defensively over the last month and a half. They're pressing more. They're flying around a lot more aggressively. And so that's something we're going to have to prepare for.
And looking back at that, the first two games of the season, you won the opener 78-71, but that was a game that the Mustangs really controlled, and really Cameron narrowed the gap late. And then in the second game the next day, everything flipped the other way. Cameron controlled the game and ended up sprinting away for 75-52 win. But that was kind of the beginning of what we saw all year, both on the men's and women's side of the conference. The first game would go one way, and then the next game would be totally different.
Yeah, that was kind of a definite trend throughout the whole year for every team. And so, which is, I guess, maybe to be expected when you introduce this bubble style schedule that we implemented to help with COVID protocols. And so, you know, it worked because I think it allowed everybody to play more games than had we not done this. So it was still a smart move by the conference. And we'll see as it goes forward. I don't think hopefully COVID's gone by next season and we'll be back to a normal schedule and we don't have to do that again. But, it worked for this season.
And you look at the remainder of Cameron's roster, Megan Hedge getting support from sophomore guard Stephanie Peterson. She's averaging 10.7 points per game. And of late, she has she really hit a surge in the middle of the season. Of late, she kind of struggled from the field, particularly against Texas Women's. Was one of eight from three the first night. And she had 7 and 5 points, so she's been off her average there. But through the middle of the year, she had eight straight games in double figures, so she's really starting to be a major contributor for the Aggies.
Yeah, no, she is. She's playing well off of Megan Hedge, and Megan Hedge is trying to find her as they work their dribble drive. And so we've got to know where she is. She's stepping up into their second role after, which whether they had been searching for all season with the departure of Ava Batiste from last year. And then the next up would be Kira Lovings, who's been kind of one of their snipers, who's hit some big games where I think she's had, six or seven threes in a game. And so we're going to have to find her and keep her from knocking down the long ball.
And she really got things started for the Aggies against the Mustangs in the second game. She had 16 points. She only scored more than that one other time against UT Permian Basin. She had the 5-3. So she's really capable of once again playing off of Megan Hedge. And if you have to cover from Hedge penetration into the paint, she's going to be able to hit that open three.
Yeah, and that's just what we have to do. We have to keep everyone in front of us, and not we want to be aggressive, but not take extra unnecessary chances to where if we feel if we can stay between them and the basket, then hopefully we won't have to help as much and our rotations won't be as long and we won't be scrambling deep into a possession to where we may get something up that we shouldn't.
What has been the change with the Aggies throughout the year? Where have they improved the most and what makes them better?
Defensively. They pressed a little bit early on, but lately they had a 6-game win streak prior to splitting their series with TWU, and they were pressing just about the whole game. They run and jump. They'll randomly trap at times out of their zone, and it's just more aggressive, and it's caught a lot of people off guard. And so we've got to be prepared for all of that. And they had a good streak where they went on the road and won at Commerce, and then they came home and won against WT back-to-back nights, won in overtime. And so that really has given them a lot of confidence, and so we know that they're playing their best ball right now.
Unfortunate during that run they had a series postponed against St. Mary's, so they could have had an opportunity to win a couple more games.
Yeah, that COVID, the winter storm definitely threw a wrinkle in for everybody.
But then they had bounced back against WT, and then really the surprise last weekend going into Texas Women's, the way Cameron was playing, they dropped the one in Denton and then got back on the right foot Saturday with the 78-70 win over the Pioneers.
Yeah, and both those games were close. Obviously, the overtime in the first game, and Cameron struggled to even score a point in the overtime game at Texas Women's, so that was credit to Texas Women's defense to prevent that. And then it was a 4-point game with about a minute left in that second game on Saturday, and eventually Texas Women's had a foul, and that's what made it an 8-point game.
And when you look, you got to go into Aggie Gym. It's a place we're definitely familiar with. There's going to be approximately 150 fans there, so not a lot, but I guarantee you in that gym it only takes probably about 20 people to make it loud.
Oh, yeah, no, it'll be loud. And, the good thing is we've already played there twice, so our girls are familiar with the surroundings. We're familiar with the trip up there. Thankfully, it's, you know, it's only the 50 minutes. You know, if we had to go on the road anywhere, that is probably the most favorable just because of the distance, you know, versus having to go 6-7 hours somewhere. And so, well, hopefully we'll be a little bit more rested and ready to go, whereas I know some teams are probably packing their bags and you know, they're already on their way somewhere. And so we'll get an extra night rest in our own beds, and we'll head up there tomorrow.
As a coach, how much does it help having the experience last year of leading the team into the tournament and playing at Angelo State?
I think it's it'll be a good advantage for us. I mean, we knew what the extra prep was. You know, the seniors with Haven and Kitana, and then you know, Hannah Reynolds was there, and so we've got a bulk of the group back that experienced that and know that, you know, playoff basketball, you've got to fight all the way to the end. And you know, thinking back on that Angelo game where they kind of made a run on us, and we dug down and we cut it to 7, I think, with like 3 to go, and had a chance maybe of pulling the upset at Angelo. And obviously we were fighting an uphill battle against, you know, a very formidable Angelo team, and you know, Cameron is as well, but I feel like where we're at right now, we're better than we were this time last year. So I think we're going to be in better shape.
The overall tournament format is the same but different. I mean, kind of going back to the kind of traditional Lone Star Conference model of probably back just over 10 years ago, where you had the quarterfinal rounds at the top seed. Back then you had the North and South division, so you had the North 1 and 2 and South 1 and 2 hosting. Kind of the same thing. You have the top 4 now, and then the highest remaining seed now hosts. Back in the day, it was alternating between highest remaining 1 seed or it alternated, so the favor went to the North 1 year and the South the other. So it was 1-1, 2-2. Now it's just 1-2-3-4. So Lubbock Christian wins, they host the semifinals and final. If they don't, then you go down to the second seed, third seed, and on and so on. But likely, Lubbock will probably get that host as the number 1 seed. I think it's interesting staying on campus because, you know, a lot of it's the game environment. To me, it while playing in Allen and Bartlesville was they were incredible atmospheres and experiences for sure. But I'm always been in favor of the campus environment because to me that's just where college basketball belongs.
Yes, I mean, there's definitely you know, a huge advantage if you're the one hosting, no doubt about it. And you should, you know, there is something to having that reward, you know, being able to host. But it also is kind of nice when it's in a neutral environment because, well, if you're not the host right. team, it gives you a better chance because, as you know, we've seen in this bubble pandemic that, you know, teams that home court advantage has almost disappeared across all the sports when there has been no fans. And so, you know, you look at, you know, Duke and some of those historically have won tons of games at home when you have, you know, Cameron Crazies going, you know, right there on the court. And when they're missing, you know, that takes a little something away from it. And so, you know, that is, you know, like you said, the nice thing about where college basketball belongs, where you have the screaming fans, but, you know, you find out who the best team is on a neutral floor, you know, it does make it more fair. But, you know, you also have 16-plus games in a regular season to prove that you're deserving of that number one seed. So if you want to be that seed, you got to take care of business and the games leading up to the tournament.
That's definitely true. And now you look at this now, and then there's the tournament on top of the tournament because – obviously, the winner of the Lone Star tournament gets the automatic bid to the regional tournament. And as of last week, the South Central regional rankings were basically just teams under consideration. So that kind of leaves a little question, particularly last week with the split against UT Permian Basin. It kind of leaves a little bit of the unknown as far as what you need to do now. So it would have made a difference whether you knew if you were 3 or 4 rather than 5 or 6, say, right. in the regional rankings.
Yeah, no, we don't really know where we stand in that under consideration part of it. Just historically, I know that if you don't make it past the first round of your conference tournament, that definitely is kind of a big mark against you. And so that's what we're fighting for. Not that it's a guarantee you make it to the semis that you're into the NCAA tournament. Well, in a normal year, maybe when you had 8 teams, it definitely would have given you a better shot. You know, this year with there only being 6 teams that advance, and, you know, we're shared with the GAC with no crossover games to determine strength of schedule. It's just going to be looking at your resume and, you know, subjectively, how can you say one conference is better than the other when neither conference played each other? So that'll be a big decision for the tournament selection committee. And so, but if you make it to the championship game, I would think that that would pretty much, you know, get you in as well. You know, historically over the years, if you make it that far, barring you didn't have a bad record going into that. But if you had a good record going in and you advance deep into your conference tournament, and that pretty much sets you up to get an at-large if you don't win the tournament.
And one of the big things that, that you can gain from the tournament, one of the selection criteria would be strength of schedule. You're going to play a team that's over 500 with Cameron. You win that one, and then your strength of schedule, at the very least, will be boosted by playing Lubbock Christian regardless of the result.
Yeah, no, that, and then also, you know, the kind of bonus would be, I guess, if we advance past Cameron, would be not only it's a win against a strength of a good strength of opponent, it'd be a win on the road, and that's something that we really are kind of maybe missing on our NCAA resume. And so,
and a win over plus 500 teams also, yep, on there. Yeah.
Yep. So we have three of those right now, or four of those, but it'd be nice to get another one on the road. Would help us, especially since we split last weekend.
I know you have the Lone Star Conference tournament that's dead set in your vision right now, but I mean, how big would that be to get into a regional, particularly in your first year as a head coach?
Oh, it's more important for these girls, for all the hard work they've put in all season, and everything we've gone through up until this point for the seniors and the upperclassmen, everything they've been through, where, you know, this group was, you know, a couple years ago, and how they're improving and they're seeing where all the hard work is starting to pay off. I think it'd be huge for them. And then, you know, it'd be great confidence for all the returners going into next year, seeing the blueprint of what needs to be done. Because, you know, where you become a champion isn't necessarily in the game and that moment of just that game. It's all in the preparation leading up into that. And so we've been preaching that since day one, and that, you know, these kids set foot on campus. It's all about your preparation. And so I think it would be a good, you know, confidence boost to make it that far.
That'd be an incredible run for both you and the team. In fact, we'll take a break here, and we'll come back, and we'll talk about the seniors and a little bit more about this season. You're listening to the Sting Gang Women's Basketball Podcast on the Mustangs Digital Network.
In Texas, whether it's work or play, Ford trucks lead the way. Like the Ford F-150 with best-in-class payload, or the Ford Super Duty with best-in-class towing. Ford trucks come with premium features that make the Ford F-Series America's best-selling truck for 43 years and the best-selling truck in Texas. Upgrade to a new Ford F-Series today only at your Texas Ford dealer. Ford F-Series, built for Texas, built for you. Based on 1977 2019 CY total sales.
Hey, football fans, leave the Hail Marys for the game and go for the sure thing when it comes to satisfying your craving. When you pick up Raising Cane's for game day, all you have to worry about is the score. Because we've got the food covered with fresh, never ever frozen chicken fingers, cane sauce, and jugs of freshly made tea and lemonade. Our chicken fingers are always hand battered and cooked to order. So no matter the score, you'll always win. Raising Cane's chicken fingers, one love.
We've invented a new messaging system using the crisp sounds of Bud Light. Crisp Code, Lesson 42. This is how you say happy hour. It's happy hour. Let's go get some Bud Lights. That's it for today.
Brewed with no corn syrup, Bud Light, crisp. Enjoy responsibly. Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
When you do whatever it takes to get the job done, they say you're on it. At ASCO Equipment, we are on it. It's what we learned as kids, what our parents taught us. To work hard, get the job done, and get it done right. We partnered with Case Construction Equipment because they get the job done too. You can buy and rent Case equipment from us, and we'll service and support it. Just like we support you, because we're on it. Whatever it is, at ASCO, we're on it.
You're listening to the Sting Gang Women's Basketball Podcast. Your host, Trey Reed, along with Midwestern State head coach Christopher Ray, is during the break. Coach Ray and I taking a look at the Great American Conference, which we didn't mention in the last segment, but the two conferences together are forming the South Central region. That was determined midstream, as typically the last 10 years or so, the Lone Star and the Rocky Mountain Athletic Conference were combined for the South Central region, but due to participation at different levels throughout the nation, what the NCAA did was they balanced the number of teams in every region, so they had to move some conferences around. So LSC ended up with the GAC, and the RMAC is out with the Pacific West Coast Conference. So it's interesting because the West region now is going to be hosted by Colorado Mesa and Grand Junction. South Central will be, with the women's side, will be hosted by West Texas A&M and Canyon. But looking at the Great American Conference, and if you're not familiar with the league, they're basically split between Arkansas and Oklahoma, and they have two different regions. They have an Eastern, two different divisions, an Eastern division and a Western division. The Eastern division won quite handily by Arkansas Tech. They have a 13-1 record. And then the Western was really won quite handily by Southwestern Oklahoma State. They're 16-2, so you figure going into the regionals, those two teams will pretty much be a cinch in it, you would think, at this point. But looking at Southeastern Oklahoma, who finished second in the Western Division, they're 11-7, so you do have concerns about the Savage Storm.
Yeah, none. They've won their last three to get to that point, and so you know, them sneaking in there would be a concern for us if on the at-large bid. You know, and the difference also when we talk about nobody from the LSE, you know, playing anybody in the Great American, also within their division, the way they did their regular season schedule was that all the Arkansas schools played the Arkansas schools and the Oklahoma schools played the Oklahoma schools. So they didn't even have any crossover. This is going to be the first time in the GAC tournament that they actually cross over. So being able for the committee to say who's better than who, you know, looking at that on paper when there's no common opponents, you know, it's tough enough job as it is every year trying to decide who should be in and who should be out. And this year is going to make it even harder. And so, at the end of the day, you know, for us, we just got to take care of our own business, and then, you know, we'll just let fate handle it and take care of everything else.
And taking a look back at the season, the Mustangs started out with, it was atypical year, so an atypical beginning. You had exhibitions against three Division I schools, Sam Houston State, and then we're supposed to go play UTA, but then had to scrap that, got a replacement game with Abilene Christian that same weekend. And then the oddities of all, you get an exhibition game against New Mexico, which was their season opener. I imagine that'll go down in history too. I bet they never, that UNM ever thought that they would play their season opener in D-O-League and Coliseum.
Yeah, no, that was definitely an oddity that goes perfect with the way 2020 you know, played out. And so looking back on those games, obviously it was kind of tough at first. You know, we took our licks, but ultimately looking back on it as well, I think it really strengthened us in a lot of ways, because like I mentioned during all those recaps of those games, is those D1s, they're going to expose all your weaknesses. And that was you know, film doesn't lie, and we were able to sit there with the squad and go over where we're short and where we're missing, and then also where we're good at, we, you know, where we scored, where we were productive. And so we you know, took the good and tried to magnify it, and took the bad and tried to shrink it. And so I think it really helped us as we went in and prepared us, especially when we had to face you know, obviously what ends up being a good Cameron squad right off the bat. And then due to some COVID games, we ended up with West Texas early on, and then we added a game with a series with Commerce that we weren't supposed to play them at all, but it ended up, you know, really helping us and testing us early on, and that propelled us throughout the season.
Then you really take a look. I mean, you get to the winning record of 11-6, hopefully get to add a 12th win and go from there. But earlier on also, we talked about the roster and how the senior days went. We didn't end up having one. We ended up with two. And we talked about Kathana Diaz earlier, and then against Angelo State, we got to celebrate the career of Haven Risley. And due to the winter storm that went through and then recovering from that, this is our first podcast since then. We didn't get a chance to talk about Haven's career on a podcast like we had with Kathana, so I know she will be greatly missed.
Yes, Haven will definitely be greatly missed. She's been our defensive catalyst all year. She's been our hardest worker all year, one of our toughest players. She, you know, I can't say enough great things about her, and we're sorely going to miss her. She's been engaged, got engaged, and so she's going to be getting married here in this after the season or sometime this year in 2021. And so she's got, you know, big things lined up. She's got a job, I think, already lined up and ready to go for after she graduates. And so, she's going to be a very successful person after basketball, and we'll miss her.
She had several big games this year. She was Defensive Player of the Week, the week that the Mustangs upset Texas A&M Commerce. In that game, she closed the game well. She had 5 points and six rebounds and a block shot, but all in three steals. But most of those stats came within the last 2 minutes of regulation and then an overtime to push the Mustangs to a victory.
Yeah, and that was huge for us because we were shorthanded due to injuries, and she was playing with four fouls because of injuries, and credit to who she is and how aggressive she is all the time. She was able to make it work and it played extremely well.
It was odd because she probably came off her best series of the season and just had 5 points against Texas A&M Commerce to get the Defensive Player of the Week. But before that, she played two incredible games against West Texas A&M, had 14 points and six rebounds in the win over the Lady Buffs, and then went out to Canyon and scored 12 more and grabbed four rebounds. And back then, and of course, she's been shooting the ball well all year, but combined against WT, she was 13 of 15 from the field.
Yeah, no, it's when she gets it in her mind that she's going to attack the basket, especially from the high post area, she's pretty unstoppable. And so, that's been huge for us to have that, as a scoring threat, because that's where Liz Cathcart did it the year before. And so having someone step in immediately to be able to fill that need for us was huge.
She started out the year against Cameron, one of two double-doubles that she had this year. 10 points and 14 rebounds. She really took over that game in the third quarter.
Yes, it was pretty incredible to see when she was getting all those rebounds and how aggressive she was. And we're going to need that type of performance again to go against Cameron. And so, really excited. And hopefully we can, for both her and Kathana, we're able to give them as many more games as we can for them to extend their season and their careers.
She had career highs against St. Edward's in both points with 15 and rebounds with 14 and a win a couple weeks ago against the Hilltoppers.
Yeah, she played great that game. We were able to run her in multiple positions that game at the four and the three, so that allowed her to be great for us defensively and then pick up a lot of rebounds from multiple areas.
And you look at her, I have her listed as a business finance major. I believe I just recently updated that as well, but also an incredible student. She's LSE Commissioner's Honor Roll three times. Just an all-around student athlete here at Midwestern State.
Oh, yeah, she's one of the perfect examples of a student athlete. And, and the same thing was said for Kathana Diaz, being a 4.0 student, and Haven was, I think, a 3.9, something like that. And she hasn't missed many honor rolls, and so she just takes care of her business. She knows exactly what she wants. She's driven, she's dedicated, and when you get that on both ends, academically and athletically, it creates a special player.
So she started her career at Black Hills State. How did she end up back at Midwestern?
We were scrambling after what would have been her freshman year, and we were looking for someone, and her summer coach reached out to us and said that she was wanting to come back to Texas. And so we jumped on it immediately because we knew how special of a player as she was, and how we kind of missed out on her the first time. Just we didn't quite have a need for her position at the time when we were recruiting her, and then when she came available, we did have a need for her position, and so then we were able to get her on campus within a week of, you know, finding out she was transferring, and you know, we were super blessed and did some cartwheels when she committed.
Definitely, I remember that story as well. For I mean, quite literally, I was harkening back to Mika Schneider signing. Yes. Yeah.
No, I mean, so. We normally say that figuratively, but there was one instance when we signed Mika Schneider that Coach Jay actually did do a cartwheel, and we got it on camera and sent it to Mika. And that's because, you know, just the relationship we had built with him, that was just a fitting match there.
So you look at next year's roster, and all these classifications can stay exactly the same. You'll have Hannah Reynolds and Morgan Linehan as your returning seniors. That's got to be big to build on with particularly with Morgan coming in as first year with the Mustangs, making that kind of impact. Now she gets a chance to have like a second senior season.
Yeah, and you know, special for her because she had some injuries early on in her career. So now she'll get her full 4 years with next season, and then Hannah's gets this bonus COVID year being a fifth year, and so having those two lead us next year, I think, is going to be really special with the amount of experience that they bring to our club.
And Shaughnessy Miller, kind of the same thing. She came in, she kind of had a year taken from her being international. Now she's going to get pretty much a full 4 years.
Yeah, no, that is kind of special because I remember when we got her on campus and, you know, she was first, I was like, man, I wish we had her for four, and here we are, we get her for four.
Then your sophomores, a lot of these have made tremendous strides this year. Eternity Jackson and Sheridan Bostic for sure. Frances King continuing to grow. As she becomes more and more consistent, she'll be a force in the Lone Star Conference. Already is, but she'll be even more of that. Mm-hmm. And then Markayla Johnson had a little tough luck with injury this year, so she's been kind of on and off the floor, but she's shown what she can do. And then Mandy Withy had really shown out this year. I know she had a bout with an injury as well before she came back late.
Yeah, no, all those sophomores have definitely grown leaps and bounds, and, you know, Frances will end up being with us, and she'll end up being one of those six-year COVID seniors when it's all said and done, because she had a redshirt year when she first got here, so that'll be special to have her during this time. And Attorney Jackson has been great for us. Sheridan Bostic has stepped up in a huge way this year for us, and she's grown not only offensively but defensively as well. And then Markayla Johnson had a great game Saturday, even though we didn't get the result we wanted, but she definitely looked like she's returning back to form, coming back from that ankle injury, even though she's been back for a few games now. But definitely you could see her confidence skyrocket during that game, and so really excited about that. And same thing for Mandy Withy, the last couple of games, getting her back from her ankle injury. I mean, there was a moment where for both of them we were unsure whether we'd have them back all season, and the fact that they've come back and they're finding their stride again is going to be huge for us.
Strange thing for your freshman group. I mean, you really, of all of them, Brittany Fields played the most, and she's been out the last couple games where you've missed her. And then with the other three, Kenchana Reed played a few games. Maya Kendall played exhibitions. We hadn't seen her because she's had to fight through a few injuries. And then Mackenzie Taylor, kind of the same thing. So it's kind of been a redshirt year in a way for a lot of the freshmen.
Yeah, when those freshmen went down, you know, we said that if there was any going to be a year to do this, this is the year, because it's not going to cost you. And we could play them, try and get them back healthy. And, you know, for Ken, we were trying to get her ankle and her knee right, and we finally got it right. And then she was contributing in practice, and we were getting her in the games after minute restrictions. And then, unfortunately, she got an elbow to the head and gave her a really whopping concussion that has sidelined her for the remainder of the season. And so we're looking for answers on that, and we're hopefully going to get some here pretty soon to get her back for next season and get her right. And then Maya Kendall hurt her knee right before Christmas. We tried getting her back, and we were, you know, a couple little setbacks here and there, but hopefully we've got her on a good rehab plan. We'll have her full strength for next season. You know, Mackenzie Taylor, we'll have her back. She'll be solid for us. But been really proud about Brittany. She's done a tremendous job, and you know, she got COVID during the winter storm, which if there was ever a chance to get COVID during the season, it was during winter storm when we weren't practicing. So that was kind of a little, if you were to say it was a blessing for the team that it didn't shut us down, it shut her down, and she obviously had to go into isolation. But because we weren't practicing, there was no contact tracing involved. And so we hope to have her back for the Cameron series, be her first game back. And so she's been working hard trying to get her form and, you know, these last couple of days in the return to play protocol. And so, you know, we'll be excited to have her presence down low, because she was playing well until she got COVID.
Yeah, she's getting better and better. You started her for a 5-game stretch. In fact, her last game, she had her season high, 12 points on 5 of 6 shooting against St. Edward. So she was really becoming a cog to your front court.
Yeah, no, she's been doing well. She's doing exactly what we're asking of her offensively and defensively. And, you know, we're really, really pleased with her progress through her freshman year.
So looking forward to the Lone Star Conference Tournament. We'll get things started right away tomorrow. Good luck, and we'll have 75 tickets available here shortly. They'll probably be gone by the time you hear this, but you get a chance to go up there. We'll have the game on the Mustangs Digital Network. We'll send Andy Austin up to broadcast the game. It will tip off at 5 p.m. The Taco Casa pregame show will start at 4:45 right here on MSUMustangs.com/streaming as part of the Lone Star Conference Digital Network. Well, it's been a fun visiting again. It's been a while.
Yep. No, and thank you for getting these podcasts out, and thank you to all the fans who followed us this year. Your support has been tremendous, and we're going to keep fighting for you, and hopefully give you some more games to watch online or in person.
Looking forward to it, and wish you the best of luck, Coach.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Staying Gang Women's Basketball Podcast on the Mustangs Digital Network.
Staying Gang Basketball Podcast, presented by the Greater Texas Ford Dealers, drop weekly on the Midwestern State Digital Network. We invite you to keep up with the podcast on social media at MSU Mustangs on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Want to listen to or download the cast? Go to MSUMustangs.com/podcast. You've been listening to the Staying Gang Podcast, presented by the Greater Texas Ford Dealers on the Midwestern State Digital Network.